From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news updates. Since September, city workers have been collecting samples of Juneau's sewage to test for the coronavirus. It's one version of a science experiment that a lot of cities are trying in Alaska and beyond. The hope is that these big-picture snapshots of how much virus a community collectively flushes will show trends and better inform public health officials on their pandemic response. But so far, the data in Alaska isn't doing that. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports that a lot of complicating variables may put some of these experiments on hold.
Hopefully everybody can see that pretty well. This is just an updated graph of what you have in a packet from last week.
Juneau Assembly Committee is looking at a graph with four lines on it. Three of them show how much of the virus has been detected at each of the city's wastewater treatment plants over the last several months. They squiggle up and down the page without rhyme or reason. The fourth line shows how many people in Juneau had known active COVID-19 cases over the same time period. The squiggles don't line up well in the graph.
I think we haven't seen easily, quickly actionable data.
That's Lori Soa, a utilities engineer for the city. Soa says the connection between the sewage data and the prevalence of COVID-19 in the community,
it hasn't been striking, and there are a ton of variables.
One big factor is how much virus people with COVID-19 pass and when. That varies a lot from person to person.
There's just not a good, like, one solid number that you can say, this is how much you shed and this is, you know, how long you shed it for.
Then there's how long it takes for what's flushed to get to the plant where a sample is collected. Sometimes solids settle in the pipes and don't move along for a while. And there's waiting time and transit time to get the samples to a lab out of state. Virus may be breaking down in the lab's bottles. Disinfectants and industrial wastewater going down the drain also cloud the science. Oh, and the rain dilutes everything.
You're not supposed to have a roof drain or a sump pump tied into the sewer system. That's really a stormwater discharge, but it happens.
Erin Dotson with the University of Alaska Anchorage has been consulting with SOA and her counterparts in other Alaska communities. He's an associate vice chancellor for research and specializes in wastewater.
Without a high sampling density, meaning you take lots of samples very frequently, there isn't a very good way to directly relate it back to the number of cases in your community.
Which some communities can do, but generally not in Alaska. He says the conclusions from sewage testing in Alaska have been pretty binary. Yes, COVID-19 is in your community, or no, it isn't. Which doesn't help communities that already know they've got it. But Dotson says it may be practical for communities the virus hasn't reached, and where individual testing may be more limited, or where it's spreading under the radar. As vaccines roll out, he says it may be worthwhile to confirm the virus is gone.
We'll be able to monitor that and say, hey, maybe now that we don't see any in the wastewater, we haven't seen any in clinical case counts, I think we're able to now remove some of these emergency orders.
SOA in Juneau says city staff have been discussing whether to keep the sewage science going in 2021. That's when the federal pandemic relief money that's paid for it so far expires. They haven't decided yet, but SOA's leaning toward no for now.
You know, taking a pause might be warranted because it's really new science and there's lots of data gaps.
She says a good time to resume sewage testing is when cruise ships return. Many of them pay the city to offload their sewage while they're in port. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
In other news, after a summer without cruise ships, many people in Southeast Alaska are desperate to see tourists return, but not everyone. Some who are already frustrated with the industry's rapid growth have now added pandemic safety to their list of concerns, and they are talking to people in other parts of the world who feel the same. KTOO's Alan Baxter has more.
Carla Hart is a familiar face at public meetings where tourism is on the agenda. She's testified repeatedly about negative impacts like noise and pollution and leakage, a term for money that doesn't stay in the community. It can be lonely. Even though there are people that agree with her, it's hard to speak out against an industry that generates millions of dollars in local revenue each year.
I mean, some people who've lived in Juneau have never experienced it in the summer without any cruise ships.
Recently, she shifted her focus out of state. She says the inspiration hit her last year. She was working outside of her house, and yet another group of helicopters headed to the Mendenhall Glacier flew overhead.
It popped in my head that we just need to get people from all over the world together who are experiencing impacts of cruise tourism and start talking.
She went inside and sat down at the computer. She started with someone in Florida, and that led to someone in another cruise port and another, until they had a network of activists in dozens of countries around the world. It's called the Global Cruise Activist Network. The logo is two maritime signal flags. They represent "I want to communicate with you" and "Stop your vessel immediately." Scrolling through a map on the network's website takes you to places like Vancouver, Venice, Key West, Bar Harbor, and Australia's Gold Coast. Her original idea was to bring people together for an in-person conference in Juneau this past fall. When the pandemic made it clear that wouldn't be happening, they shifted focus to putting pressure on the industry. The network recently launched a Rethink Cruise Tourism campaign aimed at highlighting the risks of restarting cruising too quickly amid the pandemic. In a video montage, network members around the world make an appeal directly to cruise passengers.
Cruise ships have demonstrated that they
simply aren't safe during a pandemic.
Rethink before you reinfect.
It could save your life.
It could save the life of someone you love.
Rethink before you reinfect.
Rethink before you reinfect.
Hart says members have diverse goals. A few want to see an end to cruising altogether, but many of them just want to see the industry become more sustainable. And that goes for Hart's fellow activists in other Southeast communities, too. Over in Hoona, Icy Strait Point drew about 260,000 passengers to the small community in 2019. Even though the industry creates a lot of local jobs, for Kasha Duha Wanda Kulp, the lack of local input outweighs the financial benefits.
All we are is for display.
Like many people in Hoona, Kulp traces her heritage to nearby Glacier Bay. She's concerned about the environmental effects cruise ships are having on her clan's ancestral homeland.
The National Park Service has allowed up to 25 cruise ships per day into Glacier Bay. They haven't done that much, but they're really close to it, and I'm sure they have had plans for it prior to the pandemic.
Joining the Global Cruise Activist Network makes Kulp feel hopeful that her concerns are reaching people outside of Hoona. Meanwhile, Hart and other concerned Junoites are also holding community meetings to discuss what can be done at a local level to limit the growth.
We could build a tourism industry in Juneau that consists of overnighting tourists who come on an appropriate scale to our community and who put more money into the economy per person in spending. As well, the money that they spend is money that will stay in the economy longer.
She says now is the time to make it happen, before the ships return in full force. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Today, Governor Mike Dunleavy debuted a budget proposal for next year that will lean heavily on earnings from the permanent fund to help Alaska recover from the pandemic. According to his budget proposal, he wants to draw about $6.3 billion from the state's permanent fund earnings. About half of that is part of the regular draw that would happen under state statute. The rest he's calling a one-time ask, saying he doesn't intend to regularly lean on the fund to pay for large expenses. He says, quote, "This year, we have to get the economy back up off its knees and on its feet," end quote. That figure is about $3 billion above what the legislature and the Permanent Fund Corporation have said is sustainable. He's also asking the legislature to quickly approve back paying a full permanent fund dividend to Alaskans for 2020, which would be about $1,916. That would be an addition to the $1,000 dividend checks that already went out this year. And he's proposing that the legislature pay a full PFD in 2021. He's also proposing that the state borrow up to $350 million to upgrade or build new infrastructure across the state, pitching it as a way to put Alaskans to work and address record unemployment. The U.S. Coast Guard's second highest-ranking officer has assumed some of the blame for Russian military intimidation of Bering Sea commercial fishermen last summer. Alaska Public Media reports that Admiral Charles Ray told a U.S. Senate panel that the Coast Guard knew Russia was conducting military exercises in August and failed to inform members of the U.S. Bering Sea fishing sector. Ray says the Coast Guard now holds regular meetings with Bering Sea industry representatives. This is KTOO News.